Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Our first guest has summer all planned out as executive producer of season 3 of Holy Moly and season 1 of Celebrity Dating Game. ABC will bring both series to you, and executive producer Charles Wachter joins me next. Can BET reunite 9 solo singers and girl group members for a new round of musical fame? The answer starts unfolding Wednesday on The Encore, which will simulcast on sister network BET Her. You'll hear more from executive producer Carlos King later this hour. Also ahead, NBC is Summer Olympics bound. We will have the breaking news. Walmart enters the smart market scene. Discovery sets one of its nets free. Paramount Plus brings ads on and our new classic trivia question. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Block Talk Radio, Spreaker and Tune Radio. I present on Amazon Music, Verbal, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later this half hour. 91 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York, and on this Monday afternoon, we welcome you to the program all about TV's current and future. Thanks for starting the week with us. Two great guests coming away over the next 60 minutes, and we invite you to be part of the program. It's very simple. Pick up the phone and dial in with your voice. All you have to do is use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, Tuner Radio. Another way you get involved is our chat room, SimonApple04 by name, and you will find that room on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your blog, talk, speaker, tune in screen, follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. Charles Walker will be live with us from Toronto area, Canada, after these news notes. And we begin with a breaking story over the last half hour. NBC Sports has given a green light to go to Tokyo to cover the Summer Olympic Games next month. They will do at least 7,000 hours of coverage that we split among NBC, Telemundo, Univision, or Universal, I should say, NBC Sports Network, USA, CNBC, the Olympic Channel, and Peacock. The NBC coverage, by the way, will be live in all time zones, primetime included. So the primetime late, the plug-in live element that was on the West Coast for so many Olympics, both winter and summer, is gone. And as far as we know from Molly Solomon, the executive producer of NBC's coverage, NBC is going, despite the fact that Japan right now is in the middle of a pandemic outbreak, and there's a possibility that either the Japanese government and or the International Olympic Committee may not allow spectators to attend Olympic events. There will be more details about Peacock in the next week or so, including the possibility of a new interactive format or interactive features that will be presented on that mega content service. So once again, NBC Sports is set to go to Tokyo to cover next month's Summer Olympic Games with more than 7,000 hours of coverage divided among its family of networks. As far as we know, NBC has not set a press conference yet or a conference call, but we expect they will either later this week or next. This week gets underway with a new player offering a smart TV gadget of its own making. Walmart, the largest U.S. retail store operator, is the player. The creation is ON, that's O-N-N, a plug-in device available for $29.88. With Android TV as the operating system, ON gives users access to more than 700,000 movies and TV titles, ultra-high-definition content in the 4K format, and controlled by voice or remote control. ON also comes as a streaming stick. In unusual development, one of Discovery, Inc.'s networks is switching owners. Great American Country, the country music and lifestyle linear channel, is now under the ownership of GAC Media. That's a new Dallas-based investment venture involving former Crown Media Family Networks and Hallmark Channel top executive Bill Abbott. In a separate deal, GAC has acquired Ride Television, the cable service devoted to all things horses, including sports events. And we understand that GAC Media is seeing that these acquisitions are just beginning to create a whole set of family-friendly programming services. Paramount Plus premiered its advertise-supported format this morning, available at $4.99 per month. That's $5 off the monthly ad-free rate. This version is expected to run up to 4 minutes of commercials per hour. More than 1,000 movies will be ad to watch at any time starting on Thursday. Now some quickies. Jennifer Lopez and her New York Rican Productions will develop a slate of new television series and films for Netflix under a new multi-year deal. More Netflix happenings. Shadow and Bone gets the green light for season 2. Several multi-channel bundles, including Tubi and Pluto TV, are premiering today. Lyft Comics, that's L-Y-F-T Comics, the six-episode Humor on the Road competition from Kevin Hart's Laugh Out Loud company. And Douglas Kramer, the former Aaron Spelling and Paramount executive overseer of such iconic series as Dynasty, The Love Boat, The Odd Couple, and Love American Style, died earlier today at Martha's Vineyard in Massachusetts. He was 89, and he was one of the top TV executives of the 1970s and 80s. Once again, Douglas Kramer, the former Aaron Spelling and Paramount executive, dead at Martha's Vineyard, Massachusetts, earlier today at the age of 89. And that is News Notes for today. Now joining us live from north of Toronto, Canada, the executive producer of ABC's new reboot of The Dating Game with a celebrity angle called Celebrity Dating Game, which will premiere on Monday, June 14th at 10 Pacific Time. And then several days later, a two-hour special premiere of Season 3 for Holy Moly, Charles Lochter. Charles, thank you for being with us.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for having me.
I got to ask first, are you in any of the heat wave up in Toronto, up where you are in Canada?
You know what? After 20 years living in L.A., every bit of weather is welcome, and it's actually a great, cool day today, which is lovely.
Well, good for you. And we're going to, by the way, we're not having the heat wave in New York because Saturday we just was a degree or two shy. Yesterday, same thing. So it's like a one-day affair, and then the temperature goes down from here rest of the week. So, Charles, how did you get yourself in position to do two series at the same summer?
Luck? No, I've made a lot of shows for ABC over the years, and, you know, we were headed into season three. We actually shot two seasons of Holy Moly back-to-back, three and four. And I have a deal. I work with Sony Studios for television development and producing, and they had the format. They had been talking to ABC about bringing it back, and because I've been very active with ABC recently and I was with Sony, just made sense to maybe take a look at doing it together. And it's super fun, and I was really excited. I heard that it was up potentially in the mix at ABC and Sony, and I certainly followed up and chased that just because I love the format.
Mm-hmm. Well, given the Celebrity Dating Game goes on first, let's get to that first, because this is a long-awaited revival of one of the most popular game shows, relationship shows of all time, a groundbreaker when it was on the 60s and 70s. And from what I see in the promos, it looks like the format that we all came to know and love with Jim Lang as a host is coming back, but this time it's celebrities that are after the dates, as Jim Lang would say, they really want.
Yeah, you know, It was a fun project to figure out, right? Because you want the nostalgia and you want it to feel like the original show made you feel, right? Like, I think a great TV show makes you feel a certain way. You know, it could be about love, it could be about lust, it could be about greed, you know, adventure, escapism. Every show has kind of a core emotion. And this show was really about flirting, you know, more than dating. And so when we were bringing it back, trying to preserve that innocence of flirting across with a stranger that you just met over, you know, on the other side of a wall was really important. But obviously it's 20, 30, 40 years later. So it's a more complex, 50 years later, it's a more complex time. And so trying to find the innocence of the game that was groundbreaking back then, but also make sure it's fresh and current for our audience today was the fun part about it. It's like, how do you get the nostalgia right, but also make it feel, you know, 2021, which, you know, which was the fun part about creating the show or rebooting the show.
So take us through the process. How did you determine how much of it would be nostalgia, how much of it would be updated, especially given the fact you have a new host, and it's Zooey Deschanel, and you also have a second host in the popular musical star Michael Bolton. So I'm curious what the process was. And also, did you have to work with Chuck Barris's estate to make sure that everything was on the level in terms of the mood, the ambiance of the show?
No, Sony were really the stewards of the format. So while, you know, we spent a lot of time looking at the original show in terms of what makes it, you know, it's funny. I was just saying recently, like, the nostalgia really is in all the details. It's the kiss at the end. It's the Herb Alpert style music in the you know, in the open, the show titles across the whole show. It's the graphic nod to the past, and then this also just the simplicity of the game. So I, you know, while we didn't talk to Chuck Barris's estate, which I wish I did, directly, certainly his spirit and his energy, were well cared for at Sony and certainly at ABC as we worked on recreating it. And, you know, the big twist, if there's a twist, is obviously is a celebrity on one side of the wall. And the game on the show is always the celebrity in this particular incarnation is looking for a date, right? You got a three people will be answering questions and he or she's going to, at the end of the show, pick one of them to go on a date. The twist to it is that those three contestants don't know who the celebrity is. So they have to modulate their answers and then also listen to the clues that are hidden in the questions to try and figure out who that is. And we give them a few chances across the half hour to try and guess who that celebrity is. And of course the big clue is the song that Michael Bolton sings in Act Two. It's a parody of one of his hit songs or one of the hit songs of the 60s, 70s, and 80s and 90s actually, with parody lyrics that have clues embedded in them. So that was a fun way to bring the music of the past in and, you know, talking about the nostalgia of it all. Music, I think, is one of the fastest ways to be brought back into the past in a way that doesn't feel too historical, and using Michael's fantastic music and voice with a sly wink to the audience was sort of one of the big ways that we wanted to kind of connect the show to Chuck's show. And back then, like with Jim and, you know, they had a lot of music on the show. Michael Jackson performed, you know, the Mamas and the Papas, you know, the music they had on the show was unbelievable. And as we started developing the new version, we actually started with the music because you don't hear a lot of great contemporary, other than the music competition shows or the talent competition shows, you don't hear a ton of music like that these days in the same way that popular music was really all over television back in the 60s and 70s. And so we wanted to carve that out in this version, you know, and it's just funny. I mean, Michael's a blast. He's very self-aware of his brand and being playful for that was a really fun note to add to the show.
We're speaking with Charles Wachter. He is the executive producer of two television programs that are going to be showcasing themselves next week within days of each other. First up, the new Celebrity Dating Game, hosted by Zooey Deschanel and Michael Bolton. That'll be on your local ABC station next Monday at 10 p.m. Pacific time. And then the third season of Holy Moly premieres three nights later. That's on June 17th at 8 p.m. Pacific time with a special two-hour edition. We'll talk about that momentarily. Charles joins us live this half hour from Canada in the Toronto area, this half hour on Tomorrow Televised. And we're happy you are along for our ride. Simon Abbott with you live from New York. Thank you for making us part of your first Monday of June 2021. If you have a question or comment for our guest, make the call 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. On the next episode, Friday afternoon at this very hour, you'll meet somebody who is putting together an interactive game show network called Win TV. It's already off to the race on smart TV sets and smart devices. It's interactive. You can play it at any time. There's lots of games to play. You can even personalize your own game show. We'll talk to the person who made it happen. His name is Baron Storm. You'll meet him Friday with Win TV Network right here exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Charles, one of the charms of the dating game when you watch the replays of all those classic episodes is that there were a lot of celebrities who were on the other side of the studio trying to get guests, like John Ritter, Richard Dawson, I believe, was on the show. So many other celebrities or celebrities-to-be were on there. So when you have celebrities who this time are trying to go for the date, how do they disguise themselves? Do they do anything with their voice, a la What's My Line from years ago, to not let anybody know who they are until the reveal?
Yeah. So back then it wasn't, they were celebrities because we recognized them, but a lot of times they were young, sort of upcoming. It was a way to introduce your star in a broader context than maybe the one or two shows they were on. So the fact that you were dating a celebrity was not actually ever part of the show, really. Like Arnold Schwarzenegger was there. He was already Mr. Universe. Certainly they didn't say much about him until you came across the wall because, oh, my God, he was a massive man. But they were celebrity in a different way. They were more like stars and starlets. But, you know, the core vibe of the show is the same as it is today, which is that the show is really about flirting. You know, the best thing that can happen on their show is that either the celebrity asking questions or the contestant blushes, right? Like they just say something that's a bit racy, it's a bit flirty, in the same way when, you know, you fall in love or you just go on a date and there's just that magic in the air and everything you say is you know, has sort of a, you know, whether it's a sexual context or just, you know, there's just a charged environment. That's like the, that's what Chuck figured out, you know, and that's why the show was so evergreen back then. And it's what we were really careful to protect, you know, make sure the questions were, you know, a little titillating, but not too much. You know, it's easy to cross the line, and certainly ABC knows that line well of where what's broad and fun and safe and what's not, and sort of riding that line of what can be said on television in a you know, 10 o'clock hour was always sort of part of that big brand that Chuck figured out. It's like, you know, it's flirting. You know, it's flirting in the true sense of the word, where you're really like watching people, you know, trying to figure out if they're going to hook up or go on a date, you know. And sometimes it worked. Some of our celebrities were really into it and authentic, and, you know, you could tell that connection was made, and sometimes not. And both shows, you know, both versions of the show were always fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. How did Zooey Deschanel get involved as the host of the show? And I would think that because of her experience on the long-running comedy New Girl, that she would have an advantage over other celebrities who have become game show hosts in recent years, many of them on ABC, like Joel McHale with Card Sharks and Elizabeth Banks with Press Your Luck.
I mean, I think what connected with Zooey on you know, bringing the show back, you know, was A, its history. I think she knew very well, just, you know, it's an iconic format. And also, you know, she really enjoyed the wry wink at the audience, you know, the Michael Bolton aspect, the self-awareness of it all, but also that it wasn't cynical self-awareness. It was sort of a joyous kind of vibe. I think it was the combination of those two things were very close to her own personal kind of brand, which is, you know, self-aware, self-deprecating, but also sort of sweet and innocent, you know, and not cynical about that self-awareness. And so I just think that our take on the show, Sony's take on the show, and ABC's ultimately just kind of dovetailed nicely with what she's enjoying working on these days. So it was thrilling. We were, you know, thrilled when she came on board, obviously, because A, of her reach, and also how well she really, like, gelled the show together once she came on board. It really started to sort of work in its whole.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Holy Moly, yeah, which is going into, it's hard to believe, season three, Thursday after the premiere of Celebrity Dating Game. Why do you think the show has hit home, really hit home with the audience? I'm also curious what the impact of the show has been in its first 2 years on golf and on miniature golf.
It's funny because we're actually baking some of that into season three, its impact. I know why the show is funny. It's Rob Riggle, Joe Tess, and it's got a big, heavy wipeout fun aspect, right? And I think that's always out in front. But I think if you step back from that to TV in general, you know, people are constantly searching for novelty, really, in our genre, certainly. And when we set about to make Holy Moly, we went outside the boundaries of competition reality tropes, comedy and sports comedies. And so we started to pull from Caddyshack and Best in Show. And, you know, there's a little bit of Mel Brooks silliness in the show. And at the heart of it, though, you have to keep a very authentic, real competition. Otherwise, it all feels fake. And these people are very much playing for $250,000, and they're very focused on that. So we realized quickly, if we keep a very core, real, relatable, authentic competition at its heart, and we take the golf really seriously, if you actually watch, we never mix the two really on the green. The only time you'll see a mix of the two is maybe Joe and Rob's decides while someone's putting. But generally, we kind of honor that main line. It's a serious game in a really silly world. And then with the silly world, we don't stick to competition shows, because competition shows aren't comedies. They're tragedies, right? Or heroic journeys. There, the A story is who's going to win, who's going to go home, and that's the A story. In a comedy, the A story is the comedy, and then there's a plot that sort of services the comedy, but the plot can drive off the rails, and a great comedy can still be a comedy. And that's what we realized about this show, is that on the margins of the show, the game, mini golf game, we could go well outside the bounds. And you know, this is my 35th, 6th TV series at this point. And, you know, I think TV can get boring for people without seeing stuff that is unexpected. So, you know, long answer to a short question is I think it's the unexpected notes of all the different types of comedy and silliness that comes in the show. And the way Rob and Joe, you know, that buddy comedy for them, that has really become the anchor for the whole series for me.
Holy Moly Season 3, the 3D version, as they like to say, will begin on Thursday, June 17th with a special two-hour edition, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time on your local ABC station, and that is 3 days after the premiere of Celebrity Dating Game. That's on Monday night at a week from tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific time. Charles Walker is the executive producer of both programs. He's with live from the Toronto area of Canada this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. If you have a question or comment for him in our remaining moments with him, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And next Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised, Series Fest, one of the biggest TV festivals around, gets underway, second year virtual from Denver, Colorado. We'll have our annual conversation with the co-founder and chief executive officer, Randy Kleiner. More independent pilots in the works, and more ways for people to get breaking into the TV industry. And then we'll have the director of a new documentary series that launched on Thursday, this past Thursday, on Crackle. It's called Promised Land. It's about the budding career of NBA superstar Ja Morant, who last year was the Rookie of the Year, and this year, for the first time, he took his team, the Memphis Grizzlies, into the first round of the NBA playoffs, where they lost, I believe, to the Utah Jazz. So anyway, check it out. Dexter DeBore will be with us. That's the creator and director of Promised Land, which starts Thursday on Crackle on smart TV sets and smart devices. That and Series Fest, that's live next Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Now, one of the fun things about Holy Moly, and maybe it came as a surprise, but how well both Rob Riegel and Joe Tessitore, I think is one of the best play-by-play people in football, college or pro, or any sport, how much they gelled so fast in the first two seasons.
Yeah, you know, the secret weapon, I mean, obviously Rob is one of the master improv artists, and he could take an average idea and just make it kill because he's so physical and his comedy's so good. But the secret weapon between those two is that Joe also has a wicked sense of humor, and he gets what's funny about what Rob is doing. Like, he understands where Rob is headed, and he'll subtly start to drive his truck in the other direction, which kind of gives Rob a chance to amplify and to chase a funny idea. And it's the interplay of the two that really where it really comes out. And Joe, you know, he spent decades now reacting live, you know, to sports and to color commentary. So his ability to weave from calling a game to color commentary, which in the case of our show is comedy from Rob, is bar none. I mean, he does the Super Bowl for ESPN on all the international channels, and then to have Rob, who has an inexhaustible sense of humor, and his, you know, it was a joy to see. And I don't think that, you know, it was engineered in that we knew Joe would be great at his job and Rob would be great at his job, but I think the chemistry between them was a really we were really lucky in that sense that chemistry was there, because it's really grown too. Like, I see it as buddy comedy. I'm in their ears every night. We just watch golf. I mean, literally, we just sit. Like, I'm in the truck, and those guys are sitting there for 10 hours straight, like in the middle of the night for weeks on end, and we're just watching and we're just cracking jokes. And I'm a second set of ears and eyes, and I'll point out something funny, and then Rob will start something funny, and then I'll say to Joe, "Hey, Joe, play off this. Don't go with it. You know." Be upset, and it's just, it's really like this this fun dance. And in the beginning it was a lot harder when we didn't realize we needed to heat the booth, which became a bit in the show, and that we needed to like kind of make it a little bit more workable, but we really found our groove in season 3 and 4. These guys, they were on fire. Makes our job really easy.
How does the 3D, by the way, come into play? How is that manifested in the season?
Well, season 3 is all about, like, going bigger, you know? Like, if you think about, like, sequels and comedies, it's like, Naked Gun's 33 and a half. It was sort of from that progeny of those big comedies sequel movies of the 80s. Airplane 2 is a sequel. So it's sort of a nod to that. And Back to the Future 3. But the storyline, we have a sort of an expanded storyline, which is Steph Curry is attempting to take Holy Moly and Mini Golf Pro. He's basically stepping aside from the NBA at the top of the series to focus on making mini golf like one of the big five alongside football, baseball, hockey, and basketball, to terrible effect. And it's sort of, we'll see in the series how sideways it goes, but it's this idea that now we're season three, Rob's convinced he's going to get major sponsorships. You know, Steph's convinced he's going to have 100,000 person mini golf stadiums around the country. And the attempts to, sort of supersize with essentially the Bad News Bears is a comedy runner through season three that we have a lot of fun with, press conferences and stadium builds and sponsorship attempts and things like that. So there's this, that's sort of the bigger, bolder, season three, which all shows want to do. But in the case of Holy Moly, we're all idiots, right? At least that's the brand of the show. So it all goes sideways on them. But in the end, it's about the amateurs, and of course the ship lands in a really fun place.
So now that you have this summer all lined up and a little bit of next summer, because as you mentioned, you already have taped the fourth season of Holy Moly beyond 3D or whatever, or 4K. What's in your future plans for the fall and beyond?
It's been a busy year. I have a series that hasn't been announced yet at YouTube. And that's coming out this summer. And then I also shot a pilot for Netflix, a game show pilot, which hopefully will be triggered, and I'll be shooting it in the summer or fall of this year. So some other stuff, but nothing that's been officially announced. But I'm busy. It's been an exciting year and a very busy year for me. And the next week's a big week. Chuck Barris and The Dating Game is it's part of television folklore, and he did The Gong Show, and I sort of see Holy Moly as as a progenitor of the Gong Show. So I love to think that I'm walking in Chuck Barris's shoes, minus being the international spy, although I do have four citizenships, so I guess maybe that could be said of me. But it's exciting. It's an exciting week next week, just because it's a lot of TV going on, and I'm so proud of the shows themselves. They're funny, and I think they're going to connect. And Holy Moly is wildly different and very much the same, but it's bigger and better and different, which I think that show in particular needs to constantly evolve. And Dating Game, I think, will give you a heavy dose of the past while also feeling really fresh and contemporary today. So it's cool. I'm excited.
ABC Summer Fun Games will continue, as noted, next Monday night, 10 p.m. East Pacific Time, after The Bachelorette, with the premiere of Celebrity Dating Game, hosted by Zooey Deschanel and Michael Bowen. And then three nights later, the season premiere of Holy Moly, Season 3, two-hour premiere episode. That's Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on your local ABC station. Check your local listings for where that station is in your area. And for more details about the promo online, both shows, I should say, ABC.com. Charles Wachter, executive producer on both programs, thanks for joining us. Good luck with both shows and many, many more things in your career, and we'd love to have you back anytime. It has been a pleasure.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, Charles. Take care. Have a super week. Charles Wachter joining us live from the Toronto area of Canada. More Tomorrow Be Televised coming up, but first some words from our fine sponsor at Audible.com. Have you checked out a very interesting book called Freed by E.L. James? It's a very unusual fictional tale that goes in all sorts of different directions at the same time. But believe it or not, you can understand it from start to finish. And you can catch Freed right now, or any audiobook of your choice, if you become a trial member of Audible.com. Remember, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. Over 200,000 titles to choose from, and you listen on any device, whatever you're hearing us on right now, at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, Verbal, Amazon Music, and other places. If you sign up at audibletrial.com/televised, you get one free audiobook, 1 month trial, health and wellness information, and great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. And get this, if you're an Amazon Prime member already, you get two audiobooks for the trial of one, including one from the fast-growing catalog of Audible Originals. We're talking original audio productions and podcast series, best of Broadway, off-Broadway, regional theater, and great woman and one-man performances. And if you sign up later this month during Amazon Prime Day, you get half off on your monthly subscription for the first 4 months. For all details, it's audibletrial.com/televised. Coming up, our classic trivia question of the week. But first, we go live to Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and we hear from the executive producer of a new BET musical series called The Encore that premieres this Wednesday night. Carlos King comes your way after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You're connected to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, tune.com, together reaching over 60 million listeners around the world every month and growing. And don't forget, BTR is your home every weekday for Kings in the Morning. Join Dave King and his crew. That's weekday mornings, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, only on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, that's BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised on this Monday. Yes, it is the first Monday of June 2021. Simon Applebaum with you live from New Haven, New York. Happy year starting the week off with us. 91 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York. Temperature does go down as the week unfolds here in the Big Apple. Another great guest coming your way in this half hour ahead, plus our classic trivia question. We have the answer to the one we posed the last 2 weeks, and we have a brand new one for you with prize and play. So stick around, and if you have a question or comment for our guest, ring it in, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. What if, way back when, you were a musical celebrity, and what if now you have an opportunity to pair up with other people and maybe have an encore of fame? Well, that is the story behind the new unscripted series, Musically Speaking, that is premiering this Wednesday night on BET and sister network BET Her. It's called The Encore. Joining us live from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, is his executive producer, Carlos King. Carlos, thanks for coming on.
Hello, how's it going?
Very, very fine, thank you. By the way, how is that weather out there in Fort Lauderdale?
It's pretty hot, but, you know, I like that. So no complaints from me.
All right, we won't hear. You don't say, I don't say. How did The Encore come to be?
Well, what's so funny is I created and developed the show 7 years ago, and it went through two different networks. And I thought that the show was over because both networks decided to pass on it, although I knew it was a great idea that needed to be seen. Fast forward to BET seeing it a few months ago and decided that this was something that definitely deserved to have the light of day. And it's just been a great experience to create something that I feel is such a fantastic piece of work, getting former R&B artists and girl group members to work together to form a super group, live in a house together for 30 days to form an album. It's so fun, and it's such a juicy show that social media has been demanding for so many years.
Mm-hmm. As you put this show together, especially getting together these nine people, all of whom have had a taste, some small, some big, depending on whether they were the solo stars or part of supergroups. What was it like to bring these people together, and what was their attitude going in?
You know, I think everyone's attitude going in was, of course, a little apprehensive in terms of who is going to be in this house that I'm living with for 30 days? Because none of these women knew who else was going to be a part of the show. So it's a cool social experiment, if you will, to see if former girl group members are able to get along, because the history of this myth is that girl groups don't last because of various reasons, whether someone gets an ego, a woman decides to go solo. So these women walked into this experiment not knowing who else was going to be a part of the collective, but also just trying to work together to see if women are able to work together for the greater good of making music and making an album. And in the 10 episodes that we produced this season, it's so many unexpected moments that happen that if you miss an episode, you miss a lot.
How much does ego play in what we'll see?
I think ego plays in a large part of what you will see. Listen, like you said earlier, these ladies have had a taste of fame, whether it was small, medium, or big. at the end of the day, any sort of taste of fame sort of gives you, you know, this chip on your shoulder in terms of your stature in the business. So ego is definitely, I like to say, the 10th cast member of the house. It's something that definitely is there. It's apparent. And the goal for these ladies is to try to, you know, put their egos aside to work together. And that's the interesting thing that happens over the course of the 30 days that they have to live together and work in the studio and perform choreography, do vocal lessons, work with producers. It's like boot camp for these ladies, and it's super fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. Of the 9 women that are involved, one in particular really struck me, and that's Keeley Williams, because she is the only one of the 9 that's actually had success with 2 groups. And one group in particular that a lot of TV viewers may remember, particularly if you're a Disney Channel viewers member, because she was part of the Cheetah Girls, along with Raven Simone and a bunch of other folks. And that was a very popular series of movies, some of the highest rated in the history of Disney Channel, really well-liked. And I'm wondering for her, what was it like to sort of say, well, here's my chance at my 3rd shot at fame?
Yeah, you know, Keeley gave up the business after the Cheetah Girls disbanded. She left Hollywood, got married, had a baby, and she, for all intents and purposes, was just a housewife, a working mom, who also decided to work with different record labels to create and direct other girl groups and artists. So she definitely took a backseat to the industry and became a behind-the-scenes force within the music industry. So the idea of putting herself back out there to be in the forefront was definitely challenging for her. But the moment Keeley pops up on the screen, she is a star. And she's super funny. And like you said, she has the bragging rights of saying, not only was I in 1 successful girl group, I was in 2. And the Cheetah Girls was massive. You know, they toured with Destiny's Child. They were in every little girl's bedroom, whether it was a television screen or the posters on the wall. So Keeley walks in with a chip on her shoulder, and within 2 minutes of Keeley walking in the door, let's just say mayhem happened.
Okay. Let's just say that. And let's just also speculate, too, Carlos, what kind of support do the people in these women's lives give to the idea of that one more shot at fame, whether it is husband, spouse, brother, sister, family, daughter, sons, grandparents? As they go through these paces of getting this new shot at stardom, what does the show say in a way, or what gets revealed about support from family, support from friends, and their attitudes toward, here we go again, another dip into the breach of trying to make it as a music star?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. You know, a lot of these women had the support of their family and friends. What you get to see is the details that happens, whether it was the bigger question, too, is the support of the former members that were in the group they were in as well. That's the part that gets tricky, and you get a chance to see a few reunions that happens where former girl group members are reunited with some of the cast, and that's a big conversation that happens because you get a chance to really understand the backstory of these women and what they had to go through. And I think for a lot of women in the music industry, it's not easy. It's a male-dominated field, and these women, for all intents and purposes, were created at the hands of a man. So to have the opportunity to come back into this industry and to make new music, and you don't have a man pulling the strings. You have the women supporting each other. You have the support of your husband. You have the support of your family. But at the end of the day, it's up to these women to isolate themselves for 30 days with no family, no friends to intervene. That's the experiment that is very interesting as you sort of watch how they're able to do that. And that was surprising for a lot of these women to have to rely on each other to make great music.
BET presents The Encore. It premieres this Wednesday night at 10 p.m. East Pacific Time. It's simulcast on both BET and sister network BET Her. We're speaking with executive producer Carlos King. He joins us live from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, near the sun and fun capital of the world, Miami and Miami Beach. Right here this half hour on Tomorrow will be televised. Sign up, I'm with you live from Nueva York, where it is 91 degrees at the top of this hour. If you have a question or a comment for Carlos, make your voice go to 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Once again, coming your way on Friday, we will meet Baron Storm. He is the founder and chief executive of the new game show network in town on smart TV sets and smart devices. It's called Win TV Network. Lots of unique games to play, many of them trivia-oriented. You can play individual games. The games can be personalized, and they are interactive. We'll hear more about it from Baron Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here, exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. What was tougher, lining up this collection of nine women or lining up the talent that they deal with? Costina, who's the music producer, Aaliyah Jarrell, who's the choreographer, Elijah Blake, who's the songwriter, and Cinnamon, who's the vocal coach.
Yeah, no, it was much easier to get the supporting producers, choreographers, and vocal coach on board. Getting the nine women who all had a taste of fame and success, it was very challenging because, again, they walked into a situation not knowing who they were going to be living with. But I think for anybody, that's going to be a little weird. So I understood the apprehension. But due to the trust that the ladies have with myself and the other staff members at the company, they were able to let their guard down. And, again, the fact that they finally said, you know what? As women, we get to work together. We get to call the shots. We get to be able to create and make our own music. That, to me, was the sort of joy that they had in getting on board to do this show.
Did anybody, whether the musical talent or the people coaching them, did any of them get back to you or your producers and say, you are out of your mind. Do you know what you are getting into? Do you know what it's going to take for us to, you know, re-coach, retrain, redo these people? Or in the case of the subjects, what it's going to take for us to get back together and to get back together with people whose styles we have to now mesh with that we don't even know?
Yes, they said that to me every single day. It was challenging. Listen, it was challenging. But they're also very smart. And I think for them, they understood that the world would be watching what happened. And what better way to showcase your talent and your skill set than to really be able to document the work that goes into recreating stardom and recreating magic and having the ability to retrain vocals, to retrain dance steps, to retrain someone's musical talent. You know, listen, I said to them, and they understood this immediately, when I said, look, you have the opportunity to show the world why you're the best at what you do. So obviously there's going to be a lot of work that goes into this, but the end result, you know, will be good. And you have to wait until the season finale to see that. But, again, I think everybody said to themselves it was worth it at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. I mentioned earlier one of the people involved is a former member of the Cheetah Girls. You also have a sister act involved, and the names are Irish and LaMisha Grinstead, and they were involved in a duo called 702, which is named after they were raised in Las Vegas, Nevada. 702 is one of the area codes of that city. And they had a single called Stilo, which did very, very well. Plus, they had another song that became sort of like, in a way, a national anthem for African-American women, I believe, called Where My Girls Are. What was it like for them to, A, reunite as a sister act, and then mesh in with everybody else.
That's the part that was tricky. Those sisters still live in Las Vegas. They completely left the industry. They are raising families. Some of them are raising children over the age of 18. So they have a very full life. It was very challenging for them to leave the nest and to go into this household to recreate music, not only with the other women, but two sisters working together again. And the dynamic of what that was like, because they experienced so much drama as sisters and bandmates being in the group. So to have to relive that experience and to see whether or not they were able to ask themselves, like, all right, have we matured enough to be able to do this, you know, 10, 15 years later after we left the group we were in? That's the part that gets very interesting as you see sisters try to work together once again, because blood is thicker than water, and we know that comes with a lot of passion and a lot of angst, and that are some of the things they have to experience as well.
Where did everybody assemble, by the way, to do all this training and all this work? And what was it like for your producers and your production team to capture as much of this on camera?
Yeah, so they all had to go to Atlanta and live in a house for 30 days. It's the first house reality show that my production company, Kingdom Rain Entertainment, produced. So we were very thrilled to be able to do something different. Talk about a challenge here. It was a challenge for myself as the owner of the company to walk into this foray that I've never experienced before. So, you know, we hire a great team of producers who have experience, and collectively we were just fascinated with every single minute on the hour, something different happened. You were never bored with the content that we were getting, and everything happened so naturally. It's the beauty of doing house reality shows, because the cameras are on 24/7, so you get a chance to see and hear everything, and wow, you know, I think I want to do more of that type of work, because it was definitely fascinating to watch.
Did the coronavirus pandemic impact the way the program was taped or filmed anyway? And the other thing, too, also, is that you were in Atlanta, where Tyler Perry, for example, came up with an ingenious way of dealing with the pandemic using his studio complex.
Yeah, no, the reason why we had them live in the house, too, was also because of the pandemic. So we have to create our own bubble to protect the cast and the crew. And BET was great partners in terms of the logistics that my company and the network agreed upon to make sure that cast and crew was safe. So COVID did have an impact just in terms of the way we shot the show and the way we had to protect our cast and crew for the month that we were in the field shooting this show. But similar to what Mr. Perry did at his studio, we implemented a lot of, you know, precautions, a lot of PPE, a lot of standards to really make sure the crew felt safe. And what was brought into this this show, again, them living in the house together to create this bubble, really did make this show better to me, because we were all able to be there 24/7. And I think, you know, once the pandemic is lifted, to sort of go back to that 24/7 style of shooting, to me, I hope we do more of as a company.
Carlos King is the executive producer of BET Presents The Encore. It premieres this Wednesday night at 10:10 Eastern Pacific Time, simulcast both on BET and BET Her. And he's our guest this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Joining us live from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Simon Abbott with you live from New York. Questions or comments or remaining minutes with Carlos? Make the call, 646-652-2906. Or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Don't forget, next Monday on our program, the co-founder and chief executive of Series Fest, the long-running TV festival out of Denver, Colorado, second year virtual, bigger and better than ever, Randy Kleiner. Also, from the new Crackle documentary series about NBA superstar John Morant, Promised Land, creator and director Dexter DeBore. And we hope to have some other guests as well, too. That's all coming up next Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. And stay tuned, coming up at the top of the hour, our new class trivia question. If you're first with the correct answer, you can win a trio of prizes. You mentioned earlier your production company, Kingdom Rain Entertainment. I believe you have a new program development deal. And I'm wondering how things are going making that happen.
Yeah, so we have a first look deal at OWN, which is the Oprah Winfrey Network. And it's been going fantastic. We have a big show on the network called Love and Marriage Huntsville, which premieres our new season next month. So it's been a fantastic experience working with the network and Ms. Winfrey and really creating some great programming for them. The deal is going wonderfully, and to be in business with them for 3 years has been such a joy of mine, and I could not have asked for more better partners.
Well, now that you have this long-range, multi-year production deal with them, and, of course, having Oprah Winfrey on your side means also you get access to Discovery Plus. What kind of shows or new types of shows that I believe it's unscripted would you like to do? And maybe would you like to do scripted shows given the track record they've had with shows like David Makes Man, which won the Peabody last year, Share It Today for maybe Ava DuVernay and other shows like that?
Yeah, no, I would love to get into scripted for sure. We're also tapping into that with another production company, so that's something that's definitely down the pipeline. In regards to the unscripted space at OWN, we still want to be able to create a lot of loud, buzzy programming that really speaks to their audience, which is the African-American female audience. So we're diving into that and creating shows that really are bigger and louder and way more interesting as we sort of dive into these unknown territories and really find these amazing characters that we get to bring to life on screen. So a lot of casting and development is going on at the moment, but what we've been getting and receiving has been juicy, it's been wonderful, and OWN is definitely very excited about the stuff we have coming down the pipeline.
I do want to point out that David Makes Man's long-awaited second season will be premiering later this month. It's June 22nd on Oprah Winfrey Network, and we hope to try to finally get Terrell Alice McCready, the Oscar-winning writer and creator of that series, on. He was supposed to be with us 2 years ago when we first showcased the program. Unfortunately, because of a lot of different things, couldn't happen, but we hope to finally make it work so we can he's a fantastic writer, and that first season was and that first episode in particular was absolutely extraordinary and deserved that Peabody Award. And hope the second season, which I understand now shows David as more of an adult, will be even better. From what I understand, that is the way. I've seen some clips, and it is really stunning. What do you hope people will get from the encore about not just what these nine women are want to be up to in a way, you know, rebooting their lives, if you will, musically, but also about the music scene, the state of what it is and what it takes now to be a star in that scene compared to a decade or two ago?
BET Presents the Encore is a love letter to girl groups. I am a huge fan of girl groups dating back from the Supremes to Destiny's Child. I love girl groups. And for so long, I felt like it was such a missing link in the industry because the industry sort of forgotten about this genre of music that I grew up loving. So my hope is that people fall back in love with girl groups and that the record labels invest more in girl groups because I do believe that the musical listeners really want to be able to invest their money and their time into R&B girl groups. And this show hopefully will reignite that flame, and I think this show will also remind audiences that these women are super talented and that they still have it, you know, albeit the stuff that happens when people work together, the drama, the comedy, all those things, but at the end of the day, their talent is undeniable, and when you watch all 10 episodes starting Wednesday, you'll get a chance to see that.
BET presents The Encore. It premieres this Wednesday, June 9th, 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, simulcast on BET and BET Her. Check your locals for where both services are available in your area on cable and satellite. For more details about the program online, go to BET.com. It's www.BET.com. BET presents The Encore. this Wednesday, 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time on BET and also on BET Her. Carlos King, executive producer of the program, thank you again for joining us. All the very best with this new series. All the very best, by the way, with everybody at Kingdom Reign and the new deal with Oprah Winfrey Network. And hopefully we'll be back with you soon to hear more about the new shows coming our way from you.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
It's a pleasure, Carlos, all the way. Thank you for making the time. Take care. Enjoy the week.
You too. Bye-bye.
Carlos King, joining us live from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Time now for our classic trivia question of the week. Our question we posed the last 2 weeks, nobody got an answer, so the prizes are staying in place for our next question coming away shortly. But here was the answer to the question. Name two series, one of two series, starring Gene Kelly. We told you that one of them was an adaptation of a 1940s Oscar-winning Best Picture. That was Going My Way, that was on ABC in the early 1960s, lasted one season. The other program was a musical variety show with sketch comedy. It was called The Funny Side, where Gene Kelly served as the host and principal player. So once again, the answer was Going My Way and The Funny Side. Those were the two series starring Gene Kelly. Now time for our latest question. If you're first with the correct answer, we've got three prizes in play for you. Two Babylon 5 soundtracks with the music of series composer Christopher Frank. And the first season of Departures, the popular series on Outdoor Life Network, later showcased around the world through National Geographic channels. Here's the question. According to the theme song of the 1970s comedy classic Maud, Lady Godiva was what? According to the theme song of Maud, the popular CBS series of Norman Lear starring Bea Arthur in the title role, Lady Godiva was what? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to include your name and where you're from. If you're first with the answer, you win. If we don't get a winner by the end today, post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter. So get into the game now, and all the very best. We're back with you on Friday with Baron Storm from WIN TV Network. Then next Monday, Randy Kleiner, the head of Series Fest in Denver, and Denver and Dexter DeBore from Promised Land, which premiered this past Thursday on Crackle. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out the replays of our show. You can check them out anytime you like. Apple TV, iTunes, Spreaker Podcast, TuneIn.com, IRRadio.com with our podcast network, Amazon Music, and Verbal. And we'd love to hear what you thought about today's show and our guests. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook and LinkedIn and on Twitter. We do appreciate what you have to say, and we do respond within 24 hours. Why? Because, as always, what you say matters. The views expressed here are those of the participants, not those of the Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Our production associate is Mandolin. Andy Toad's Blog Talk Radio's general manager, Jay Steinberg is head of content, and the co-founders of BTR, Alan Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow Be Televised is brought to you by Audible.com and Amazon Division. Remember, Audible will transform the way you hear the world. For a free audiobook or two and much more, it's audibletrial.com/televised. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a great rest of your week. Back on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, Amazon Music, Verbal, and the IR Radio Podcast Network. Whatever you're up to now and then, please make it safe and make it great, and let's get this pandemic now and forever. We are. Hello.